Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 361. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive one. Please mention whether you want a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free of charge, and the postage and handling is also is free as well. We have some Bible reading. We've got some music. And we might read some testimonies today. Usually the messages are so important that, to receive so many letters of praise for people having been born again of the Spirit through my literature, they praise and thank the Lord. And I just want you to know that we have thousands of these letters. And, if you ever like copies of them, we could send you some. Right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this radio broadcast. Lord, you told us that we have to prepare our hearts for suffering. We have to walk that lonesome valley. And then sometimes you take us to the mountaintop experiences, but we're going to go through the fire. And because you're allowing people to be tested to see if they're going to go through the fire and if they're going to go through the lonesome valleys and if they're going to go through suffering and persecutions and from degradations and everything. And if they do, they get to go to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus walked that lonesome valley. And he had to walk it, not all by himself, because you were in him, but as so far as the Son of Man was concerned, he walked it all by himself. He had disciples around him, but they were ignorant to the ways of the Lord. They watched him and wrote the things down that he was doing so that it could be passed on to others like ourselves as to the magnificent power and glory of yourself while you walk the earth in a human body. Now you're sitting on the right hand of the Father, and as a matter of fact, you are the Father as well. When I saw you in my vision, there was no two gods or three gods sitting there. It was just you, because you're the fullness of the Godhead in a one body. We are your image and likeness. You fashioned us in the same just like you are. We look like you. But the problem is most of the people in the world are not like you. They don't pay any attention to your word, and they still think that if they do good deeds, like the Boy Scouts do, or the Cub Scouts, or the Brownies, that they're going to get into the kingdom of heaven. But, of course, your word tells us a lot different than that. What we have to do is you have to live inside of us, and we have to surrender our entire life over to you so that you're able to, with us, use us as the living place for you. We are the temple of the living God. We're the house of God. And you are our house. We have to be with you and you with us. And such as marriage, when we see in the first chapter of Ezekiel that the true church has you as its center. You are the center of the church. Just as in marriage, the wife, the center of the wife is the husband. So many people today are being married just for sex or because they want to live with somebody for a while. They want to do it legally because they didn't read it in the Bible. And even if they did, usually their mother, father, sister, brother, or friend told them that you must be married in order to be legitimate as far as having sex. And so they join themselves together. And then they are married legally in the eyes of the government, but yet their eyes are everywhere. But as in the first chapter of Ezekiel, we see that Christ is the wheel within the wheel. The wheel is the church, and Christ is the center of the church. And wherever Christ leads, guides, and directs his church or his sheep, the wheel goes quickly as to wherever the Lord is leading it. And the woman is supposed to be the wheel within, or the woman is supposed to be the glory of the man, and the man is supposed to be the center of the woman. So the man is the center of the wife, if it's really a husband and wife situation. As the Lord commands, he likens the church, Christ in the church, the same as a man and wife. They cleave unto each other and they become one. Their eyes are not rolling all over the place. I can remember before I was saved, right, Father, and I remember, I know that you remember this. I was in, took this one girl to lunch, and I just met her. And we went to this restaurant, and here this band came in, and she was with them. She wasn't the center of me, even though we weren't married. Still, when I take a person out to eat, a woman out to eat, back then, what I did is I wanted them to be with me. And that's why I was going to be paying for her lunch or dinner, whatever it was. But her eyes were in that booth, and she was all smiles and everything. And so I told her, after we ordered, I told her I have to go to the restroom, and I just walked out on her and let her pay the whole bill. That's the kind of person I was before I was married. You know, a lot of people say, oh, that's not right and everything. That's what you say, but the Bible says way different, and I'd rather listen to the Lord than you. I will not let a woman abuse me. If the woman is not my wife, if she's, if I'm not her center, as the Lord says that she's supposed to be, just like he is the center of the church, then it is not a marriage. And so, Father, I ask that you open up, anoint this message today, regarding also giving up of our future life, the future life. If we get married to you, then we have to give up our future life. There's no future. We don't have any future any longer. You are our future because we're your bride and you're our husband. And if a man and woman get married, well, then they have to give up any future other than their husband, first the Lord and their husband or their wife. That's just the way it is. And so I'll read these scriptures today, Father, if you want me to. But if you lead any other way, I will certainly do whatever you say, as you know from the very beginning with me. And I pray that everyone will receive this, because the divorce rate in this country and probably in the world is 50%. For first marriages, I think it's 60% for second marriages and 70% for third-time marriages, somewhere in that category. And then also, even the 30% that's left over are more than likely committing adultery on each other. And, of course, this is a sin unto death. And the thing you hate more than anything is in the Bible is divorce. You hate that just as much as you hate disobedience to any other moral law. And so, Lord, pray that you've sent me into the world to make the crooked ways of this world, to make them straight, so people understand the things that you have ordained and the things that you have not and never will ordain. The Lord, I ask you that they'll receive salvation from the common sense of your word, and which is Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. And that you'll strengthen the church by this, for I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, here's one of my very favorite gospel singers, because he doesn't have a high-pitched voice like a girl. He's masculine, very masculine. I like for men to be masculine and for a woman to be feminine. I don't want some truck driver wife. Amen. And some people say, well, you're discriminating against truck drivers. No, that's mine. Yeah, I can do that. You know, this is supposed to be a free world. I can have my choice. Even the Lord doesn't take my free choice from me. Amen?
Amen.
He says that we can make the choice. Otherwise, he'd have made us robots. And what the Roman government's trying to do, and very well has with many people, he's made robots out of them. Because you can't say this about what the Word says about homosexuals. You can't say that. You have to take homosexuals into your church, whether you're committing a fornication in your church or in these horrible sins. I say no to the government, you Catholics. Okay? No to you. Because we're to follow the Lord, not you or any other stinky, sweaty person. All right, so right now here's Fag Springman singing, Jesus, walk that lonesome valley, and you and I have to walk that lonesome valley too, because people are going to degrade you, they're going to persecute and everything, and if you make it to that gamut, well, then you'll be in heaven, because that's what the Bible calls going through the fire. Going through the fuego. Okay, so here he is. Fag Springman.
Jesus, walk this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Stand my trial. I got to stand it by myself. Oh, nobody else can stand it for me. I got to stand it by myself. I got to stand it by myself.
Praise the Lord. I pray that you'll listen to the message today because it's your very life. You know, the flying saucers, as I said earlier, and as the Bible says in the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, states that flying saucers are symbolic of Christ and the church around him. He walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks or the seven lampstands in the book of Revelation. And that's a way that a marriage must be. I mean, you have to give up your future in this world, and also you're not to come into the body of Christ desiring some future, like you want to be the world's greatest evangelist or a world pastor. I never desired any of those things. And usually the ones that don't desire it, that actually, like Moses, didn't want it, anything to do with it whatsoever, that's the one that God is going to give it to, because the other people are too puffed up. And besides, they don't have enough sense, spiritual sense. They don't know the Word enough to know that they'll never receive anything from the Lord if they're seeking a particular career in the Lord or to take over the church that God gave to somebody. No one, like Dathan and all the different people in the Old Testament, wanted to take Moses' position just because he wasn't worldly. just because he was meek, more meek than anybody on the face of this earth. But that's the one that the Lord gives things to. He doesn't give it to some puffed up person that tries to lead Moses, or that somebody that God has called and chosen to do a job for him. What happens? He kills those people just like he did Dathan and his cohorts. So, you know, and another thing too, a lot of people give up the future reluctantly, but it can't be a reluctant situation. Or they will give up their future after something horrible has already occurred. In other words, they didn't have enough money to go to college. Oh, okay. It's a reluctant thing. They still want to, their heart still wants to go to college. They want to get a PhD. And they're going to mourn that for the rest of their life. That isn't the way that you're supposed to give up your future or future in the Lord. So a lot of people, after something has already occurred to wreck their future, when it's wrecked, when something got in the way, and all their hopes are shattered, then it becomes what they call a willing surrender before such an experience. And we have to have a willing submission to the Lord, a surrender to him before such an experience occurs. Or an event has taken place, you become crippled and you can't be the football star that you wanted to. You're always saying, I could have been a great football star or a boxer. I could have been a contender. And look at me now. I'm just a bum, like Marlon Brando said in one of his pictures. That isn't surrendering your life to the Lord. Or if I would have been able to have better looks, I could have been a movie star. I could have married this movie star or the best-looking guy in school or out on the streets or whatever. But something happened. Some other girl came along and the guy took off with the girl. Oh, now I'll surrender myself to you, Lord, if I can't have what I wanted. Because of these different events that has taken place already. That isn't a willing submission to the Lord. You can't be reluctant to give your life to the Lord. So it's not waiting until you have lost or failed in business. And then you give up your life to the Lord. And it isn't waiting until you lose your job, until you cannot enter some university or college, so that you can obtain some kind of a degree, like a PhD and so on. And then you give up because you lost all, you have no place else to turn but to the Lord. That is a reluctant way to do it. And that isn't what the Lord wants. He wants you to be willing and quickly to do it, to give, turn over your whole life to the Lord. It is not this. When we speak of giving up the future, what I'm talking about, I mean that when a profitable business opportunity awaits you, or when an excellent job awaits you, or when a degree in the university awaits you, you willingly give it all up for the Lord's work or for his sake, to build his church, his building, his temple for him to live in. His sake, quote, his sake, unquote, means that he wants you as a member of his building, his temple where he lives, to live. He wants to live in you and to do his work in and through you for his sake. You allow him to do that. I remember when the Lord first revealed himself to me, I had a Beatles album and I had offers from the Beatles to be their managers and the Rolling Stones, the Buffalo Springfield. Just before that, I did the promotion for Sonny and Cher. And I was very sought after in the entertainment industry, and I still am. One of the greatest basketball stars just yesterday wanted me to do business with him. But did I do it? No. Amen? I'm right back here where I was before, and I'm right here bringing the message, aren't I?
Amen.
Okay, and I've had actually thousands of opportunities like that. When you turn all these things down, then this is called, this is truly called the giving up of the future. You become the church. The Lord is your center then. Your whole life is centered around Him. You let Him walk in your in you, the temple. You let Him talk in you, the temple. You let Him work in you, the temple, because He's your center. And that's the way the Bible says. He likens it very much, the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit said, he likens that very much unto marriage. Even if the entire glory of Egypt is faced before you. I was asked by the John Birch Society and the anti-IRS people to, they wanted to put me up for President of the United States. This was before I went to prison for the gospel's sake. Now they say I'm an ex-convict, just like Jesus, the Apostle Paul, John, the Revelator, who was put on the island of Patmos, just near Greece, and all the other apostles and prophets and Jesus himself. See it, so even if the entire... Now, the devil offered Jesus the entire world. The devil wanted to make Jesus the first pope. But Jesus realized that the whole world, and we, if we're the body of Jesus, we have to realize that the whole world belongs to us, and the entire universe belongs to us. But if people lose that vision, the people, without the vision, they perish. Amen?
Amen.
Without a vision, the people perish. They go to hell. If you don't believe the vision that the Lord has given us through His Word, well, then you're on your way to hell. And it doesn't make any difference how many tears you shed. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing on their tongues and on their teeth in hell, but the Lord will not hear you. He will not hear you. You have to become nothing but a person that has Jesus for your center. Without that, you're never going to heaven. You might as well forget about it. So even if the entire glory of the entire world is placed before you like it was Jesus, you can say to it, goodbye. Get thee behind me, Satan. I must go to Canaan land. I must go to the kingdom of heaven. Perhaps Satan will continue to call you from behind your back, saying, you'll come back to Egypt. You're going to come back to Sodom and Gomorrah. We have a PhD for you right here. Egyptian palace, the best palace in the world. And we'll pay for it. We'll finance it for you. Come on, man, you know. And we're big basketball players, football players, basketball players, baseball players. This is a rare opportunity for you, the devil will say. Come on, my boy. Come on, my girl. If at this time you can face him and tell him outright, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. I already own the world. I already own the universe because I'm one of the members of the body of Christ, and all that he has belongs to me. Get thee behind me, Satan. These are not my portion. I don't belong to the world. I will not entangle myself with the affairs of this world. This, then, is a true giving up of the future. And if you don't set your mind, you have to put on the mind of Christ, just like this. And if you don't, then you're breaking the commandment of the Lord. He says, put on the mind of Christ and put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil, the temptations from the devil. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So a lot of people have no idea what Christianity means. You have to become like in marriage and in the church with Christ, just like the flying saucer. Wherever the Lord tells it to go, is zoom, like lightning, like fire, faster than lightning. There's a very grievous situation today. Many who serve the Lord have a future in the Christian world. People that take on Christianity got to understand that this is a very serious degradation to the Lord. You're degrading him because what you're saying is, you don't lead, guide, and direct. I want to lead, guide, and direct my own future in the body of Christ. So you're saying that the Lord doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to guide you. Yet, this does not prove there was something wrong with the original consecration of the people concerned. There's something wrong. It does prove they have fallen off the altar. We're to place ourselves on the altar. Just like one of the bullocks or the lambs or the rams or doves, or to let ourselves become heaps of ashes. A person that is truly consecrated knows from the very beginning that his future is through, it's over with, finito. La commedia finito, the comedy is over. This is serious now. This is not enjoying everyday life. This is a time of taking up the cross and following the Lord. Denial, self-denial, to let the Lord take you and make you part of his body, a part of his future. Because Christ is the future. Nothing else is. Everything else is like chaff. He takes only the ones that totally surrender to him so that you can sow the wheat, the good seed, into others. If a person still wants to have a future, then he needs not. There's no point in him coming to church. There's no point in him doing that or pretending to serve the Lord. That's all it is a pretense. So if you have these future things and you want to exalt yourself and get some glory, or you want the praise of the brothers and the sisters, instead of reproving and rebuking them, a lot of people really get upset when you reprove and rebuke them, and a person that's not of the Lord will not do that. They just talk so sweetly to them, and everything is just fine with you. They're pretending to serve the Lord. They're as phony as a $666.60 bill. A person like this realizes that he must never have any future because he is already on the altar becoming a pile of ashes. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so sometimes a person comes to a place of difficulty and finds that he has more courage because this difficulty proves to him that he is still on the altar and still under God's rule or guidance, whatever. But sometimes a person enters into a period of time where he or she is at ease and becomes, on the contrary, a little fearful regarding whether he or she is still on the altar or not. That's sometimes, you know, I used to fear that when the Lord would start blessing me. I was wondering, is there something wrong with me, Lord? How come there's no persecution right now? How come there's no more trials and tribulations? You've given me a place here of abundance. And the Apostle Paul, then when I read what he says, I've learned how to abound, to have plenty, and still stay saved, because it's very hard, almost impossible for a rich man, a person that's at ease, to get into the kingdom of heaven. But Paul said he learned to still stay with the Lord, whether abundant in abundance or being abased, where he's hungry and naked and thirsty and so on and so forth. He's still on the altar or not? You want to know. A person like that may think that he has fallen off the altar and he feels that he is no longer under God's spirit, under his guidance. I want you to listen to me, brother and sisters. We need many times to ask ourselves, what is the result of our consecration? Has everything about us become ashes on the altar? Has all of our future? And if it is, then we don't have to be double-minded. Am I saved? Am I lost? Am I saved? Am I lost, Lord? If you're on the altar and you're ashes, you know. Amen?
Amen.
If you're lost, you know you're saved. So, has everything about us become ashes on the altar? Have you become ashes on the altar? Has all of our future been done away with? Is it done away with? Or have we reserved something in this world that is a hope for ourselves? Oh, I hope I may. I hope I might. I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope for something in this world. Well, you're not consecrated yet, and you're never going to be happy until you do. And if you consecrate yourself and you still have regrets about it, I have no regrets. People say, why don't you sell that Beatles album of yours? I have no regrets about that. To me, as far as that Beatles album is concerned, it's gone with the wind. Gone with the wind. I have no desire for it at all. I want to know that the Lord, not me, that the Lord is blessing me. Everybody must go before God and deal thoroughly with the question and the problem of consecration. Are you on the altar in a heap of ashes or not? If our consecration is not sound, I mean complete, if you're not really a pile of burnt ashes, sooner or later, a lot of problems will occur in our service for the Lord and in our spiritual condition. We're always one foot in the world, and one foot we think is in the kingdom of God, but it's not. You can't serve two masters. You can't be on earth and in heaven at the same time. We can have heaven in us if we totally concentrate unto the Lord and be in this world as pilgrims. If we follow the Lord like little lambs, he said, you are my friend if you do everything that I say. If you're consecrated. And he said, if you're not with me, if I'm not your center, then you're against me. The flying saucers in Ezekiel, the churches that surround Christ, and Christ is in the midst. In the book of Revelation, he, the Son of Man, walking in the midst of the seven churches. He's in the middle. Christ is your future, your life, your everything. And the Bible states in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 that your husband, if you're a wife, he's the center of you. There's nothing else. He's the likens it unto the church, the body of Christ. The temptations of future prosperity or prospects, sexual prospects. Maybe I can score. Are very many and very powerful, great, grande temptations. Jesus was offered the entire world. Sie Welt, the entire world. And he shined it on like it was garbage so that we could be saved. And if you won't surrender your life and show the general public that you've surrendered your life, you're not going to be smiling at people, luring, trying to lure them on. Because you're out to save souls, not destroy them. That's why. Your future is gone. If you're married, you have one bed partner, if you're a woman. And these temptations are so great. And temptations are particularly severe to those who are especially gifted. I mean, if you are able to take on people's careers, like you're a big promoter, the temptations are more. But you take somebody that's just never been anything in their life, they just lived a really, you know, a normal life, just a everyday humdrum life. Why, what they have to tell, they don't even know what there is out in the world yet, and they are still so easily tempted. And you get them into the realm of a person that's tremendously gifted, and there's just so many temptations, and they see the person that's really has Christ as their center, and they're not paying any attention to these temptations. They can't understand that. They say, oh my God, what I could do if I had that, if I had his ability or her ability, and I could just take all that money and have all these different bed partners. I'm a sex maniac, they would say. Especially those of us that are gifted. The people out in the world think I'm incredible. People who have talent and can be used outwardly to some extent by God. There are many, many, many matters, many environments and many attractions which can cause us to lose our consecration, our connection with the Lord, to let him disappear out of our midst, where he's no longer the center, but something, some career becomes our center. Something that appeals to our flesh becomes our center. So we lose, you know, if we do that, then we lose our consecration, our salvation, and our eternal life. And you spend eternity in hell, the lake of fire. Unconsciously, this will happen. Some people are not even conscious of it. They have lived such a familiar life of just smiling at other men, or the men smiling at other women and coming on. It's like Johnny Mathis's one fleeting glance can say so many lovely things. Suddenly I know why my heart sings. They become twitterpated in the world, and the thing that they're lusting after takes place of the Lord, and they trample the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot and put him out to open shame, and they expect to get into the kingdom of heaven. Forget it! Forget it. So this happens unconsciously. This will unconsciously happen. There's only one way for a person to overcome these problems, these temptations, to get you through the hour of temptation, and that is to relinquish thoroughly all of your future on the very first day of your consecration. This means that since we have consecrated ourselves, everything is finished. Absolutely finished. Finito.
From my own life.
If you believe what I say, you will say consecration. A person that I am. I so far thank God that I have been completely used by the Lord. Actually, in the beginning of this century, in the middle part of it, and the first 30-some years of the previous century, this part of the century, and after the first 30 years of the previous century, many thousands and maybe millions of people have been helped spiritually through my ministry. And the first 14 years, 17 years of it was Sue and myself. Even in the beginning of my old age, I was still walking the single and narrow path of the Lord. Many people have done the same thing, but I could very well have had all sorts of different opportunities that have been given to me, fame and fortune, position, popularity in the world. But I did not take any of these offers. I gave up right in the middle of a tremendous, what people thought I was the number one promotional person in the world. And even the governments were coming after me to do their promotion. To me, honest to God, before God is my witness, it was garbage to me. Women flocked around me because they wanted to be around me. I don't know whether it was because there were so many movie stars and rock stars and everything around me, but also people that were in the every part of the entertainment business, in the sports world. And I'm a very I've done clothing for Don King, for Mike Tyson, for I've done things for Hulk Hogan, for Dolly Parton, for so many people I can't remember. The Beatles, Rolling Stones, Elvis people. So, I mean, I don't want to stay here and talk about these different careers that I gave up. But I just want you to know, I am consecrated. The world is meaningless to me. It's the only meaning that it has is that it's going to burn and it's chaff. And it's not. There isn't one thing in this world that's worth me giving up my eternal life for in heaven. And if there's something in this world that you'd give eternal life up for, well, I just feel sorry for you. That's all I can say. Because the Lord wants you to do a work and you don't want to do it, well, that's disobedience. And disobedience is the same as witchcraft. I gave up all those different things, and you have to give them up too. You're not giving up the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and the Beatles album and all the different hundreds of things, the Buffalo Springfield, tremendous positions. Frank Sinatra wanted me to be his promoter and to work for him. I turned him down even before I was saved, which is absolutely nothing to me. Motion pictures, everything. What I did is when I knew the Lord was living in, and he was alive and he could take my life any minute, I went to work. I've done everything that I could to open up new places for the Lord. But this was something that was of my own will. I just wanted to get the word out everywhere. And so I believed it was the will of the Lord for me to get places at different places. But the doors were closed, such as the Salvation Army in London. They were offering three places, but they said I had to join the United Council of Churches. Well, that's the Antichrist. And I gave them up. I said, I'm not going to join that. Beautiful, huge, old buildings that were like theaters. They looked like the Metropolitan Opera House. Oh, what a prestigious thing for me to have such buildings. And I gave them up because I will not join Antichrist just to have a pretty building. There were three of those churches in London. Beautiful, magnificent theaters. They stated that I belong to the United Council of Churches, headed by the Vatican. I'm not going to do that. Turn them away. So there are many things like that that I have given up. Marriage to motion pictures, actresses. I gave them up. To the Princess of Sweden. She didn't want to serve the Lord, so I gave her up. She actually, after Sue's death, she and myself became man and wife because I led her to the Lord and she was filled with the Holy Spirit and she served the Lord for a while. Then she wanted to go back in the world, so goodbye. Goodbye. It's all over. Goodbye to everything to follow the Lord, no matter what the condition or consequences are. There has never been any murmuring or regrets that I have. I am always joyfully, I can always joyfully say that I love the Lord and the work that He wants to do in me, and I'm so happy that I knew to do these things, that God put enough fear in me and enough fear to lose my eternal life and to lose heaven. There's so much fear that I would do that I always even ask the Lord, Lord, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? Just let me do only that which is right. I don't want anything to do with people that minimize God and maximize this world. I have to do these things because I love to do them. I was really touched by the Lord when His Spirit came to show me that He existed and what He wanted, and that He showed me that He's so powerful He could take the breath out of my body, in and out, in and out, in the Beverly Hills office. I don't want to displease anyone like that, that has me like a little toy. He can crush me. He says, behold, I make that alive, and I also kill. Amen?
Amen.
I raise people up, and I tear them down. I'm God. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. And people that disobey me to the extent that they belong to the Muslims, I give them tsunamis. I give them earth. All the different things that I do, I pour my wrath out on them, and I don't care who disbelieves it or not. It's me, not Mother Nature. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. So the Lord is the Lord in every part of my life. I've been saved around 42 years now ago. In September, it'll be 43 years. This is what, January, March, April 2nd, right? Or 3rd? 3rd? Yeah, 3rd. I'm doing another 2-hour interview tomorrow on, what's the man's name?
Greg Szymanski.
Greg Szymanski's TV program. You can watch it on the internet tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 4th. And this is year 2007. I relinquish the future in the world, and I also relinquish the so-called future in the Christian world. What I mean, so-called futures, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be a future if it was my choosing. It's a so-called future. But when I do what the Lord says, He is my future. Amen?
Amen.
So only what He does is what I care about. I just let Susie do all the different preaching, and I just felt like I was just a person that I should listen to her. She'd been in the ministry 25 years before me, and I still feel that way. I didn't want to be pushed up to the front like I am now, but I know that the Lord has used me, so my consecration is just as fresh today as it was in the beginning. So brothers and sisters, this is a result of my abandoning all my future. And that will happen with you as well. And the Lord, you just don't know what He's going to do with you. He'll put you as high as you're willing to surrender yourself. There are so many things that I just walked away from in my in the beginning of my salvation, and also to this very day. And I still kept on going. I still keep it that way all the time. I get offers all of the time. I was offered to be a partner with Roy Rogers. This is many years ago, and just yesterday I was offered other things. But the Lord told me, don't get in any big business. Don't do it. And offers pour in all the time. So our consecration always needs to be fresh within us. We have to do it on a daily basis. We have to consecrate ourselves afresh every day. We have to keep this on our mind. We have to put the mind of Christ on. Our mind must remember to be consecrated. And we have to do it. God isn't going to consecrate. Then we would be robots. He wants us to put on the mind of Christ and the armor of God. We're to never let our consecration become old. If it would grow old, it's the same thing as if we never had been consecrated to the Lord before. We must always be as ashes on the altar, always entirely for God. God, the Lord Jesus, is our center, and we, the church that he lives in, to enjoy living in and through us always, without any future whatsoever. The Lord knows what kind of future he wants for us to have. So just let him live in you. Don't be tempted by any opportunity or any enticements or enchantment or any enticements of Satan. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen and amen. I'd like it'd be very smart for you to listen to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And let's see, what verse did we start out? This is start out with Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to 33. And it tells you that this is a great mystery. It said your husband must be the center of you. You must surrender your complete self to the husband, because the Bible says that the Lord is our Savior. And the husband is the Savior, along with the Lord, if he's saved, of the female, the woman. And so how, you know, of course the Lord is our Savior, and he's the Savior of the body. And this is what the Lord commands you to do. And if you don't, you're not part of those flying saucers, the symbolism of the church with Christ in the midst of it. You're not one that has the Lord Jesus Christ walk. You're not a candlestick. You're not allowing him to dwell in you, or the lampstands. So I see my time is up, and therefore we need to get right with the Lord right now. And if you want to make him your future, then say this prayer. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, because I want you to be my future. Therefore, you say, I know that you have heard me, I say, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. I just praise and thank the Lord, be baptized in water, fully submerged in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how, just ask me, and I'll tell you. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways to receive a copy of this program, Program 361.
Go to AlamoMinistries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right. Praise the Lord. All right. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message. This is a guidance on the straight and very narrow path into the kingdom of heaven. The original writing says that the way into the kingdom of heaven is so narrow that you actually have to squeeze in. That's very narrow. And so we have to keep our mind narrowly, broadly on the Lord and narrowly to the, not at all to the world. It's a narrow way of thinking. Okay? Just one way and one way only. And here is H.B. Barnum's wonderful Life Choir to sing Life Prayer Songs.